Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
A legendary outdoor store in Cleveland, Mississippi is selling everything in a five-day online-only auction. Vintage fishing and hunting gear, archery, muzzleloaders, jewelry, toys, signs, and more. Bidding starts Friday, July 24th at 9 a.m. Shop now at YNLAuction.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are with me. We are recorded, obviously, not live. This is going to be a quick one because I promised you I'd give you my interview with Greg Sankey. So that is what you are getting here right now. Full transparency. I got longer with him than I was supposed to. They were doing the wrap-up thing like 6 minutes in. I got 11 minutes out of the commissioner of the SEC. I had a lot more questions that I wanted to ask. I didn't get to everything. That's just how it works sometimes. They're very tight, bouncing around the schedule and all the obligations that he has to do. So I was able to ask about the Pete Golding Clemson tampering thing, which is an answer that you really want to hear. I think he was delivering kind of not a warning shot necessarily at Clemson, but a reminder of what goes on in college football. Every school, he used the phrase glass houses, and it's a really interesting quote. So I would encourage you to really pay attention when I ask him about that. Also asked him about the game September 19th, what that's going to be like, is the league involved, those kind of things as well. So I got the local stuff out of the commissioner, just, you know, not the full length that I was hoping to get, but still really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'm so glad that you guys are here. Ole Miss Day tomorrow. We will go live tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, as we always do, just Wednesday instead of Thursday. I will get Pete Golding and all three players one-on-one. Those will be uploaded in this feed. Tomorrow night, we will just talk about it, react to the day, and then the next 4 days after that is when I will bring the player interviews to you guys. So be on the lookout for that. But that's a big day. I'm really excited to talk to them, and hope you guys are as well. Before we get into the interview, want to, you know, quickly mention Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. 0% on the John Deere tractor or lawnmower that you need. Also, anything you need under one roof for home furnishings, appliances, in the garden, in the backyard, hunting property, and more. They will take care of you. Tell them that it was me that sent you at Scruggs. They are great people, and they will, again, take care of you. Logan Smith Shelter Insurance for auto, home, life, or business insurance. 601-823-3500. Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. And Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Here's that conversation with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. This will also end the podcast. So nothing on the other side, just my conversation with Greg Sankey, as promised. That's coming your way right now. I hope you enjoy it, and I will see you guys tomorrow night live recapping Ole Miss Day, quote unquote, at SEC Media Days. See you then. Sports Talk Mississippi, now with the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey. And as you laid out yesterday, you've had quite the offseason. You've been lobbying Congress a lot. You've done the 9-game conference schedule, the spring meetings, been dealing with all that. Are you tired?
I am, actually. And I was supposed to have been on a couple of weeks of a 2-bedroom place on a lake where I grew up. And
you need that.
I don't have any, like, I didn't get a tan because I was inside on the phone. And that's just part of the job. There's no need for sympathy. You know, I'll add, we did the ABS thing in baseball and have permission from the Rules Committee to potentially implement it next year. We'll see if we get that finalized. There's a lot that goes on, and we have a great staff and great people, but it's been really a nonstop summer so far.
When you got into college athletics a while ago, did you ever think that you'd be spending your days talking to Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell and spending days on Capitol Hill? Was that ever a thought
No.
of yours?
In fact, last Tuesday, I grew up outside a little town called Skinny Atlas, New York. My wife moved there when she was in junior high school. Her birthday was Sunday. I took her to dinner Tuesday. The dinner was interrupted by the university president and three members of Congress on the phone. And so we walked afterwards in my hometown, and we were just, we've walked this sidewalk 1,000 times in our life together. And I said, and then John Calipari just called me this morning, and he called me as I was walking, and I said, if you had told me back in the early 80s when we were first dating in 83 that I'd be having phone calls like this, walking this same sidewalk, I would have said, you're just joking, you're making stuff up.
Is the next job a run for Senate yourself? Are you positioning yourself for political office?
No, I wouldn't win where I grew up in upstate New York, and I'm not moving back there. I'll do Summers, and then I don't think I have the right sounding accent to win.
Well, you can change that, apparently, depending on the audience.
No, I'm a little bit more genuine than that. It has been an interesting, like, civics lesson in how things work, and maybe how things don't work, too. Yeah. And how you're painted, you know, where influence comes in. We don't make political donations. We're not in, you use the word lobbying. We're in the communication activity. We have a government relations firm, and we're not in the back rooms. There's no cigar smoke. Whenever I go to Capitol Hill, somebody seems to find out or the picture's taken. Just try to have straightforward educational conversations, and was in conversation this morning is his work still continues.
So we're statewide in Mississippi, and as you can imagine, there's been a lot of conversation about a particular Week 3 matchup in Oxford with LSU. Are you excited about that game?
Yeah, we'll go with excited. Yeah. Yeah. No, sure. I think we have to all manage ourselves properly, and there'll be a lot of emotion and energy around that game, which is – it's great for college football, but everybody involved needs to conduct themselves appropriately and with the right spirit. And that's both leading into the game, during the game, and after the game.
So I want to ask on that note, there's been, as you can imagine, a ton of talk this offseason. The main character, and it's done some talking himself, including, bragging about the fighting abilities of his own fan base on Twitter. Are you guys stepping in and helping make sure that kind of stuff stops, that the game goes off without a hitch? What is the league's involvement in this game in particular?
We've actually met on several circumstances about game management and expectations, and as we move through this and turn to the season, we'll have some ability to remind ourselves, big picture, this is everybody. About your responsibility for your team. I did that in Destin, behind closed doors with the football coaches. I said, your job is to talk about your team, not everybody else's team. Whether you were there 10 years ago, 10 weeks ago, 10 months ago, whatever it is, your responsibility is to talk about your team. I said the same with our presidents and chancellors and athletics directors in a joint meeting. And one of the challenges of our current environment is, this social media platforms create expectations, and we have to shift our expectations to conduct ourselves as leaders from time to time.
And what does that look like? Because we saw Lane Kiffin make a return to a place that he left within your league back in 2021, and it ultimately didn't go well at the end. How do you learn from how that game went to prevent how this one goes coming up this season?
Well, I'm being asked about it right now, so in the previous iteration, that did not occur. We have some opportunities between now and the start of the season, and it's just not one game. And there'll be a lot of emotion as we have more conference games, 9 conference games, particularly when you get to the end of the season and you're almost in your own tournament. We'll have to set those expectations, and where we or I have to communicate directly, we'll communicate directly. And one of the ways to make sure the focus is on the football game, which is the objective. There are people and personalities around the game. There are players in the game. We want the focus to be on the game, not on what happens outside the game. We're going to have to remind ourselves of that expectation.
Another thing you had to deal with this offseason, a head coach in a different conference was very animated and specific when calling out Pete Golding and Ole Miss, and the NCAA reportedly has inquired about that. Do you get involved in that? Do you have any thoughts on how that went down, and where are we when it comes to the tampering, not only just in this specific case, but in college football as a whole?
There are a few questions in there. Do I get involved? I do. I mean, I have for my now 12th year as commissioner and since I joined the SEC office in 2002 in various ways. we all live in a glass house. And I'm going to put we all live in a glass house. And I respect that that frustrations boil over from time to time. But the environment we're in, representatives, NIL representatives, agents making phone calls, we're in a very different environment, which puts us in the glass house, and so we all ought to be careful about throwing stones, including me. The tampering issue, if you recall in March, the Big Ten wrote a letter asking the NCAA to put aside the enforcement of tampering, but to move quickly to a new standard. That letter came out on a Tuesday, the week of our men's basketball tournament. On Wednesday, we had Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, with our presidents and chancellors. And our message is, we're not going to be writing a letter at this point, but this circumstance has to change. And a healthy debate among our presidents and chancellors about, should we be in that light of writing campaign, what's going to happen? And our expectation leaving was a rather rapid adaptation by the NCAA to recognize the environment that's different. And, you know, that was 4 months ago. So where, in my view, we are with tampering is we have yet collectively for people to define what it is you want in this environment. So 10 years ago, you didn't have all – you had people running around as representatives, but not like we do today. That's one. Two, pre-portaling is a phrase that is now part of – I don't know if it's in the dictionary, but it should be. And you're not just going to stop this stuff. The NCAA model, I don't mean this as like the NCAA leadership criticism, but the NCAA model is you get a committee together and they say we need stronger penalties. I don't think that's true. I think we need to define what it is we want, which fundamentally is we don't want coaches calling kids at a different school saying jump in the portal or setting up deals with representatives. So you go in the portal at 6 p.m. on a Friday and 8 a.m. you've got a new place and a scholarship. That means tampering's taken place. Those things should be defined, right? And then when issues occur, I don't think stronger penalties are the answer right away. I think more timely oversight and accountability. And it may be a lesser penalty. It may be just a warning. It may be what's perceived as a slap on the wrist. But do something in an orderly fashion, in a timely fashion. And then if it happens again involving the same individuals, that penalty should be elevated. And then lastly, the young person involved has a responsibility here. I think that's what's lost. That someone who says, yeah, go represent me and stir up a bunch of business in November in a football season, somebody's authorizing that. And there has to be accountability there, too. It shouldn't just all be on an institution. And I don't think we're there yet, which is a bit frustrating. I've described this previously. I have enough going on in my life. I haven't written a white paper on it. But conceptually, like we all exercise a little bit of care before we point fingers. That's one. And two, we should define the end game that we want and then work towards that with a level of accountability that's progressive but involves the individual, both the coach and the student-athlete who are part of this tampering environment.
You got to go. So real quick, there's been a lot of lobbying about players and restrictions, and everybody's for that, generally speaking, getting rules back in place. After what went down at the end of the season with coach movement and all that happening before the season ends, is there any conversation about maybe adding stricter movement rules on coaches or waiting till the season ends like the NFL does, something like that? Is that ever part of the conversation?
Yes, it actually came up in Congress right after the move of Lane from Ole Miss to LSU. I was in D.C. that week talking about a House of Representatives bill, and a number of members of the House said directly to me, we have to regulate this, period. And I said, we're happy to, because our presidents and chancellors said, this is not healthy for any of us. Decisions get made, and do we need our own system? And so we were part of helping to craft some ideas around what could happen at the congressional level. We'll see if that's possible. If it doesn't, it'll be back to a conversation at the conference level about is there a more orderly way for coaching transitions to take place.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, we really, thank you.
I could do this here for 4 hours, but you've got other people to get to.
I give long answers, so I could probably fill.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.